Thanks for joining us for another inspiring message from Pastor Derek Dunn, lead pastor of City Harvest Church, Orange County. To find out more about City Harvest or Pastor Derek, please visit chcus.org or derekdunn.org. You can also follow us on your favorite social media platform at chcus and Derek Dunn OC.
Growing up in church, people would say before the service was dismissed, "See you next week unless Jesus comes." And you know, every week we would do that. And we need to live our lives that way. We need to plan like he's never coming. Do your investments, plan, and put things in strategy because it's important for us to be wise. But live our life like he's coming tomorrow. Live our life that if we were going to meet him, come on, I don't want to be in sin somewhere and Jesus comes. And everyone else gets caught up in the clouds, and I didn't because I was playing with dead things. Come on, that's the fear of God. Walking in the, I don't want to be coming before God and say, "Oh, sorry, wait, I was planning to do something a month from now. Christmas was coming. But you came in November, Jesus. You're a little early." No, the Bible says when he comes, will there still be oil in our lamps? Will the fire of God be burning? Jesus said, "Will I find faith in the earth?" And so we need to live our life with that urgency. And sometimes we've lost that in the Western church because church has become an activity. It hasn't become a lifestyle. Yeah. Come on, church is not a country club. Church is not like the gym where you go and have your workout, take a shower and go to work and you're just there and visit every once in a while. Nothing wrong with that, but the church is a place of equipping. It's a place of training. It's a place where we get our marching orders. We get downloads from heaven and we go out throughout the week and fulfill what God has put in our heart. Yeah. Are you here? And so we're starting a new series, and it's called Witness. Someone say Witness. Witness. Title of my message today is, "Can I Get a Witness?" We heard that. Can I get a witness? I believe Jesus is asking that sometimes. He looks at his church, "Can I get somebody to witness?" And I thank God we've got people, and we're a soul-winning church, and, you know, really, we are a church that preaches and teaches that we're all called to be a witness. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You're called to be a witness." This church started that way. We started, and many of you heard the story, and we were waiting to get a building. We were going to do newspaper ads and all of this marketing and stuff, and it's like God just shut the whole thing down because we didn't have approval, so we missed all the deadlines. But I had a word in my heart. We're going to start at Easter, and we finally got the approval on Good Friday, 48 hours before church is going to start. We couldn't do anything. What can you do? You know, you can't. So we put some things on Facebook. Thank God for Facebook. And we printed 5,000 flyers, and 10 of us went out and handed out 5,000 flyers all over the UCI campus, all over the surrounding properties there. We were talking to anything that moved. Come on. Being friendly, inviting them to church. And on our first Sunday, with just 48 hours notice, come on, we had 47 people that showed up that first week. Come on, give the Lord a big hand. And God began to bring people in, and you know, sometimes, you know, you see church plants, and really, it's not a church plant, it's a transferred growth plant. And all we did is target on social media, target other churches, and we cleared out that church for the first Sunday because people wanted to come and see the new thing. And you look at the video of the church plant, everyone's raising hands, everybody got saved before the altar call because they were already saved. They're already a part of another church. We're not called to go after transferred growth. And, you know, many of us were saved. We came here. If you're not growing and you're not being discipled and you came here, we welcome you. There's nothing wrong with that. But we're not targeting the church or the rechurched. We're targeting the unchurched. We're targeting those that don't have a family. Come on. Amen. Don't go to your neighborhood and try to pull people who already have a family and they're eating dinner into your house. Get people that are lost, that don't have a place to go, that don't have a community. That's the goal of us being a witness. And the church started that way, but we've grown. And thank God, you know, God has been adding to us. And we've got two services now. We're averaging around 150 people. And, you know, COVID happened. We were growing. We dropped down to about half. And many of us remember that we had this room all spaced out and social distance and things like that. But before COVID hit, you know, we had our evangelism explosion. How many remember when the Humphreys came? And God began to start, there was a revival that started, and we came and got trained and activated. We were going out into the parking lots and into the parks and in the places and sharing our faith with people and praying for people, people getting healed, and the gifts of the Spirit were flowing. Amazing stuff was happening. And there was this momentum that began to happen. It was exciting. And then COVID happened. And come on, nobody's going nowhere. For the first 6 weeks, everybody's trying to think, there's a plague. We all watched those movies of zombies, and we're waiting for everybody to turn into zombies, you know? walking around and scared and go out. You know, you see your neighbor on the other side of the street walking by themselves with a mask on, and you're like afraid to even wave. Stay on your side of the street. And we look at all that happened, and you know, it was not an easy time. We started after 6 weeks, and we came back, and God launched our online media program into a whole nother level. And what you see here, and we changed the late lighting here. We had studio services, and then we opened up to in person and online. And God began to see, you know, around 1,500 people watching us every week online. Yeah. More people watching online than we even have in person. And those numbers have dropped. People have gone back to churches, and thank God for that. But we're still averaging about 300 over people a week that are watching us. And so we're still touching the nations. We have people from all over the world watching us and a part of what God is doing. And, you know, everywhere I go, they say, wow, we love your stuff. We love what you're doing. We're watching you. I'm like, why don't you give us a like then? Come on. Let us know you're out there. If you're watching right now, come on, hit the like button. Put some fire emojis there. Have you ever noticed that? Like, you know, everyone pretends they're your friend, but they never friend you, and they never like you. They're like, wow, I watch your stuff all the time. It's amazing, man. I'm always watching. I'm like, I never see you. Like, hit the like button. Come on, show some love. Are you here? I mean, don't be one of those people, the silent stalkers. We just walk, you know, but we're not willing. Don't want anybody to know that we're watching, you know. And so we've seen growth, and we've seen things happening. But as we come back in this season, we need to get back into the urgency for the lost. We're City Harvest Church, Orange County. What's the role that God put us here? Is to win a harvest. Yeah. And the harvest is plentiful, the Bible said. But what's the problem? The laborers are few. Jesus says, can I get a witness? And everyone's like, Jesus, I'm busy right now. Wow. Jesus, I got my family. Wow. Jesus, you know, I got sports going on. Nowadays, there's sports happening all over. My Anna was telling me she's here this morning. Her daughter has 3 games this afternoon. I'm like, that's crazy. When I grew up, you know, nobody had sports on Sunday. Nobody would come. But the world has changed, and there's competition, and thank God we've gotten back to some semblance of back in life in the marketplace. And come on, we don't have to wear a mask everywhere, and we can go out and eat, and things are happening. And you know, now people have been sick. It's not COVID, it's called the flu. And now the flu seems worse than the normal than COVID. You know, I had COVID, I had no symptoms, but I tested positive, and then someone's got the flu, and they're having fever and sick, and it's almost like the flu's worse now. Yeah. Oh, come on, are you guys here? It's like, you know, better not say that, you know. Look at the truth. Look what's happening. Everything is not COVID. Are you here? There's other stuff going on, but we're back, and we're back at work. We're back at things. But what happens if we're not careful? We get distracted. Because God derailed a lot of people. Even some of us that are here watching or we're here online, we weren't really connected in church. We were busy on thing, and we're like on the fringe of church. We're on the fringe of our walk with God. We're just showing up, and but we're about to fall off. And really, we got 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in the house of God. But guess what? When the world got cut off, what? We put 2 feet in the house of God. We began to get connected. We had more Bible studies that year than ever before. But now that things go back, don't put your foot back on the fence. Don't go back to what God brought you out of. Trust God for greater capacity. Trust God. Does our Bible not say if you put him first, come on, he'll add all things to us. Amen? God has to be first. Seek first. Someone say first. The kingdom of God and his righteousness to be in right standing with him. And what the Bible say? All things we have need of will be added to us. If you missed the last 2 weeks, get that message. If he takes care of the birds, he's going to take care of us, right? We shouldn't be concerned about all these things. Come on, if you're a child of God, if you're positioned in obedience to God, come on, money comes easily, frequently, and abundantly. Some of you don't believe it. Well, get your place in the right position. Get your place positioned for streams of blessing to come. But we're out there hustling, trying to make it, living in fear, and under our we're not seeking first God, we're seeking first our budget. Your budget doesn't work because you got not enough money to fit your budget. And we're in bondage. We need to get out of that place, position ourselves. Well, Pastor, you make it sound so easy. It is easy. Yeah. My kids don't worry about having food. Yeah. Come on, I got ribs in the crock pot right now. Dinner's going to be ready tonight. They're not worried about that. Do we have enough money this month for dinner? Are the lights going to be on when we get home? Is there still internet? Well, because that's what parents do. They take care of that. And the Bible says, how much will our Heavenly Father not take care of us? If we're walking wisely, again, pray about it before you pay for it. Yes, sir. Pray. Don't just go and get yourself in something and ask God to rescue. He'll help you out. But after a while, you got to learn the pain of your wrong decisions. until the pain of remaining the same outweighs the pain of change, you won't change. Pain is a greater motivator than pleasure. There's many people who experience the presence and go, oh, I love God, what wonderful. They have pleasure, but guess what? They go back to their mess. But until the pain and you start reaping the wages of sin, until you hit a wall, then you begin to realize this is death. I don't want that. That will cause you to run back to Jesus real quick. Yeah. Are you here? Yeah. But don't get to that place. Seek first the kingdom of heaven. So we've seen growth. We've seen things coming to another level. We've expanded our children's department, and Sarah and the team's doing great. We put a new baby room because you guys were being fruitful and multiplying during COVID. Amen. And we got babies coming in, and we've got things happening. Oh, come on. That's all right, all right? And there's growth that's coming. Our connect groups, we've multiplied 2 connect groups. We're getting ready to multiply again. We've raised up leaders. Things have happened, and we've seen great growth. The church is engaging. We're our HGen has been growing, and our youth, we're seeing more people add, and young people coming in, and teenagers coming in, and people graduating out into college, and it's wonderful. But how many know there's a better, greater harvest out there? Yeah. Come on, look around. We still got some empty seats. Thank you for showing up for 9 a.m. this morning. I mean, I think this is the best. That daylight savings time helps some people out. Amen. That extra hour. Maybe you just woke up wrongly and thought you were going to be early for 11. I don't know. But we still got room. We can make more room. Come on. I don't care if we have service every day of the week one day. Come on. We got a facility. Let's maximize it. The church shouldn't be empty. Are you here? We're launching out. More people are serving in ministry. More people are serving. And we launched City Care this year. And we're engaging. We had a project last week with Laura's House for abused women. And we're reaching out to them. We're looking this Christmas how to reach out to the under families that are struggling, that are financially, and they're not going to have a Christmas. But we want to go, and we want to get the families that they're really struggling, they're in the poverty level, and let them know that God loves them. Let them know that City Harvest Church loves them. And we're looking for target people in Aliso Viejo. There's people around there. You heard me share before. We met the mayor, and the mayor told us he was at Whole Foods. Come on, Whole Foods is not a cheap grocery store. But there were people there eating out of the garbage can, a mom and her teenage son, pulling stuff out of the garbage right here down the street. Come on, people need the Lord. People are depressed. People are getting involved in addiction. More young people are getting hooked in smoking marijuana and things. Well, it's legal. Well, it still kills your brain. Your brain ain't even developed yet. Come on, you need every brain cell you can get. I know I do, amen, as I get older. Come on, I need everyone. I take Brain Booster to help me. Come on. Because I'm not as sharp as I used to be. Come on, don't look at me like that, those over 40. You know what I'm talking about. It's not firing, you know, but we do what we can. We got to, but what we need to go and be there for people. And that's something you struggle with. We're not here to condemn you, but come on, you need to go to Jesus. Get a Holy Ghost fix, not a fix of something that's not going to help you. Are you here? And so thank God for his work. Thank God for what's happening. Thank God for the new initiatives. But as we come to Christmas this year, we're going all out. We're starting early this year because we want to give you a runway to reach out. I mean, come on, with one event, 165 people have given their names and their emails. They're coming. But how many people have you invited? Come on, well, I was busy on Sunday. I couldn't be there. Well, come on. Get involved in winning the lost. Get involved. If you build God's house, he'll build your house. Yeah. If you're so worried about building your house, your house is built on the wrong thing. Yeah. And when the storm comes, if you're on the sand, your house will come tumbling down, the Bible says. But if we build our house on the rock, yeah, as the storm comes, come on, we're going to still stand. Yeah. I said, we're going to still stand. Yeah. Come on, we're going to still stand. We'll leave that, give the Lord a shout. Amen. So the message of Jesus, I put this up for you, is not something that we should keep to ourselves. Christianity is not about just experiencing Jesus for myself. Well, Jesus is so wonderful. Jesus is so good. Well, who did you tell about it? Amen. Come on, we go to a restaurant. We have a great restaurant. People, oh, I went to this restaurant. It's amazing. The food is amazing. Oh, my gosh, you got to go there. We tell people about that kind of thing. We tell people, oh, we got a sale. Come on, Nordstrom's Rack's getting everything in on Wednesday, and the stuff is lit. Come on, go get your Christmas dress. We talk about all those things, but when something happens and we experience the goodness of God, we don't tell people. God's called us to be a witness. The message of Jesus is not something we should keep to ourselves. What is the gospel? It's basically two things. The gospel is about come and see. And it's about go and tell. Come and see and go and tell. Come and see. And you're visiting today. Someone invited you to come and see. Come and see. Or you found us online. You're watching online. Come and see what God's doing. Come and get some. People say, wow, man, you guys do an amazing thing. And it's free. Come on, people go and pay money and watch a bad movie. They come to church, it's free. We got childcare. Come on. People come and we got free refreshments. But people come and they see, but don't just come and experience for yourself. You've got to go and tell. Tell your neighbor you got to go and tell. In Matthew 28 and verse 1, the Bible says this. Now, after the Sabbath, towards the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and the clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know what you seek. Jesus has, who was crucified, he's not here, for he is risen. And he has said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I've told you here." What does this show us? They experience. Come on, how many of you like to see an angel like that? Come on. I don't mind. That's pretty cool. Come on, better than something you watch in Marvel. You know? I mean, here's an angel. The guys are like dead men hiding. Oh, my gosh, let's play dead. Like, let's play possum. Because, like, what are these guys up to? Eyes like lightning, fire, and it's real. Come on, it's not CG. They're not in a room with a green screen. It's real. You know, you're going to come for the Christmas production. You're going to see the guys in Home Alone and the guys in the movie. It's not real, okay? So don't freak out. How did they get there? It's not real. All right? But this was real. We're looking for a fix. We're looking for excitement. We have entertainment and movies and all those things, but it's temporary. This was something that was real. This is something that broke history. Come on. It changed BC and AD. Before Christ and after death. Come on. It changed history. And they came and they experienced something. But what happened? They were told, go and tell. Share with others what God has done for you, what you've experienced. Well, I've been delivered. Well, have you told anyone? Well, God blessed me financially. You hire a powerful testimony this morning. Come on. Tell somebody. Well, I don't want to be proud. I don't. What kind of nonsense is that? Glorify Jesus in your testimony. Ain't it about you?
Yeah.
Are you here? How do we become a witness? Very simply. Number one, share your story. Share your story. We all have a story. It doesn't have to be dramatic. Well, I saw an angel and had a vision. I was caught up into the third heaven, whether in the spirit or out of the spirit. I don't know. You don't have to have that kind of thing. Come on, just tell. I mean, I was a pretty clean-cut guy. I was had my issues, but come on, I was never in drugs. I was not out fornicating, committing adultery. I didn't kill anybody. Come on. I never done drugs. Are you here? I wasn't one of those kids that had this story that came out. And if you are, praise God for that. But like sometimes I feel like, well, I don't have a you almost feel like you better get a testimony, you know? You hear those people come up and share, like, I can't share on stage because, like, I'm normal. Come on. But I better go out and do something so I can have a testimony and talk about how Jesus redeemed me. Don't believe that lie. Come on, in this world, if you walk right before God, that's a testimony. But I still have a testimony of how I encountered God, of how I grew up and how I didn't have a dad, and God was a father to me, and the men in the church and the activities that we had that came in, and how, you know, I met God. I saw the power of God. I was casting out devils at 14 years old. They had this church course at church, how to heal the sick. I said, I want to learn how to heal the sick. Come on, who wants to learn how to heal the sick? Come on, that's pretty cool. So I went to learn how to heal the sick, and they taught you how to heal the sick and all the scriptures, verses, and how to pray and all that. And when you start dealing with sickness, demons come up sometimes. Yeah. Are demons real? Yes. It's not just Halloween. Come on. And I learned, like, first time I cast out a devil, I'm like, this is cool. It's like the disciples, even the demons obey us. And Jesus says, rejoice, your name is written in the book of life. Come on. But it's pretty cool. I was never scared. People said, I'm so afraid. What are you afraid of the devil for? Yeah. You have authority. Yeah. You have power. I learned that from a young age. Are you here?
Amen.
and saw God move. And I was hungry for the power of God. I was hungry for the move of God. And it brought me all around the world. Come on, some people don't even have a passport yet. Get out there. Tell somebody. Get out there and see what God's doing. Life is an adventure. Don't limit. I'm just a young boy from a poor family from Atlanta. Come on, but I've been all around the world. Amen. Share your story. The gospel is not just about us, but it's about others. What is being a witness? I put this up for you. Being a witness is taking what Jesus did in your life and sharing with someone else so they can experience him too. Because when you tell the stories, the Old Testament, they always said, tell the stories. Tell your children and your children's children. Because when you tell the story, there's an anointing. Come on, when I talk about demons, I feel like casting out some this morning. Amen. There's an anointing. I can go right into it if I wanted to. When it's about healing, you could, because when you tell the story, what happens? Signs and wonders follow the preaching, the telling of the story. When you talk about healing, what happens? People start getting touched. When you talk about the blessing of God, what happens? There's an atmosphere of faith to believe for our breakthrough. When you talk about God's power to deliver, what happens? Stuff starts getting stirred up. Come on, well, you can take care of it yourself. Amen. You don't need someone to pray for you. In the name of Jesus, get out of here. Amen. Yeah. Pull down those thoughts and that negativity that keeps trying to hit you. Every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Amen. Yeah. So we can go right down that road, but we're not. Amen. Be a witness. Tell your neighbor, you got to be a witness. What has God done for you? What is the goodness of God in your life? Go and tell somebody. Get excited about it. It should be more exciting than the sale at Nordstrom's or Bloomingdale's or wherever it is you shop. It should be more exciting than the favorite place that just opened up down the street. It should be more exciting than your next vacation. Amen. Get excited that God has loved you, that he's been faithful to you, and tell somebody. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got to tell somebody. Can I get a witness? That's what God is saying. In Acts chapter 16, verse 25, we see this story. Paul and Silas. It's about midnight, and Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, someone say suddenly. There was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everybody's bonds were unfastened. Come on, that's a pretty cool movie. But this really happened. They're here and they're in prison. Now, most people in prison, they'd be complaining, why did I serve God? It's so difficult. Now I'm in prison and oh. What were they doing? They didn't care where they were at. They're praising God. Amen. Come on, they're praising God. I will dance like David danced. And they're inviting the presence of God into the jail cell. And I've been to the jail cells. We went to Rome and we saw what the jails looked like. It was holes in the ground. We saw where Peter and Paul were imprisoned. I didn't go to this one, but it's a hole in the ground. There's nothing there. People are doing their business in the corner. It stinks. And I will dance like David. What are they doing? They're praising God. And all of a sudden, in the midst of praising, heaven and earth connect. And all of a sudden, God says, I like that praise, but come on, they're a little hindered here. Come on. And the chains start falling off. They start clapping and they start praising God. They didn't run out of the prison when the chains fell off. They were so caught up in praising and worshiping God. They were so caught up in the glory of God that they stayed where they were at. And guess what? Verse 27 says, the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors were now open, and he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he fell asleep and the prisoners have escaped. He supposed that they'd escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice and said, don't harm yourself. We're all still here. Yeah. That's crazy. Who would, come on, you are in prison. You'd be like, I'm dancing like David did right out of here. Come on. But they weren't about just experiencing God. They were about impacting those around them. And so Paul cried out, don't harm yourself, for we're all here. And the jailer called for the lights and rushed in, trembling with fear, and fell before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? That don't even sound right. Come on. Guy wants to kill himself, but he comes in and he falls down. Why? Because the glory of God was there. Because the presence of God was there. Because he walked into an atmosphere and there was a cloud of glory and the presence of God. And he fell down and he said, what must I do to be saved? Why does the Bible say we're a peculiar people? Come on, because we don't do what most people would do. We didn't run out. We're there, and we're carrying the presence of God. When people come in contact with us, they should be saying, what is it about you? What's about, there's something about you. I want what you have, and you can share with them. And they say, what must I do to be saved? I need what you have. But if they look at us, we're depressed. We're also living like the world. We walk like the world in our relationship. We're always worried about money. We're always stressed out. We're always having a problem with our temper and our rejection issues and everything else. And guess what? When they see us, why do I want to be like you? I think I'm probably better off than you are. Are you here? We've got a responsibility, come on, to walk with God, to carry the presence of God. If I give you some homework, don't go out of your house this next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, until you've touched with God, until you got in the presence of God. Well, I like to pray at night. Well, don't live all day long like the devil and all depressed, and then you come home and get a little, my beloved, sweet sleep, and you sleep well, and you wake up, and the anointing's gone, and you're living like everyone else the whole day. Come on, don't leave. Get in the presence of God. Come into the place of victory. Come in the place of joy. Come in the place where you've got the kingdom of God inside. And come on, there's rivers of living water flowing out of you, and it doesn't matter what's happening around you. And come on, you're carrying the glory of God. People come in, oh my God, it's Monday. I'm still hungover from Friday. You say, thank God it's Monday. It's going to be a great day. It's going to be a great week. Yeah. We got all these things to do. Yes, but we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, well, that sounds very weird. Yeah, you're peculiar, but it's got to be real. I'm not talking about being religious and flaky. Yeah. You know, doing all this outward stuff when it's not real. Mm-hmm. Come on, if God makes you shake, that's fine. But why would he make you shake when you're picking up the cell phone at the reception? Come on, he ain't going to do that. Come on, there's a time, and God can be real. We can allow God to be a hitter. But come on, sometimes we're doing stuff wanting to be seen or trying to put on a persona of spirituality. You know what the greatest sign of spirituality is in your life? Love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control, meekness. That's the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And out of that fruit, what happens? There's power and miracles and signs and wonders and gifts of faith and words of knowledge and words of prophecy. Come on. And discerning of spirits and all those things that flow out of us. But it's not about just the gift. The gift had nothing to do with you. But you got to develop your character and get into the presence of God. Are you here? The jailer called for the lights, and he came in, and they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved, you and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. They went home with the jailer. That's cray-cray, come on. Who goes home with the jailer? Who does that? Why? Because they were more concerned with sharing the gospel, with telling people about Jesus, than they were with it, about their own livelihood and their safety. And he took the same hour of the night and he washed their wounds. And he was baptized. Come on, don't wait for 3 months for water baptism. Let's get baptized now. And they got baptized, he and all his family. And he brought them up into his house and he set food before them. And he rejoiced with the entire household that he had believed in God. Amen. Come on, we need to experience God, but we got to tell our story and find out as many people as we can. Tell our story. Let me tell you a secret. If you brave on God, God will do more things. Yeah. What's the role of the Holy Spirit? To glorify Jesus. If you come in line with glorifying Jesus, every time you get a financial testimony, you tell about Jesus, guess what? You're going to have more financial testimonies because the Holy Spirit wants Jesus to be glorified. Amen. Come on, you want more encounters with God, you start telling more people about it. God will start showing up in your life doing more things because he knows you're going to tell somebody and he wants Jesus to be glorified. That's the role of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. But is that our heart? That we want Jesus to be lifted up. Come on, they got out of prison. They should have run out. They stayed. The jailer encounters God, and they say, let's go home and get your family saved too. Wow. And they carried that same present to the family and told their story. We don't know exactly what they said, but people thought, these guys are crazy. What prisoner doesn't run away when the gates are open? And they shared Jesus, and the whole family gets saved. They have a water baptism. Come on, and then they eat some good food. I like that part. Amen. And celebrate the goodness of God. Paul and Silas encountered God. but they wanted to share that encounter with others. How do we witness? Number one, you got to share your story. We all have a story. God has been faithful to all of us, and we need to tell somebody. Amen? Amen. Number two, how do we witness? You've got to focus on the mission. You got to focus on the mission. What's the mission? It's called the Great Commission. But the problem in most churches is it's the great omission. We omit to do it. We've been commissioned. Come on, when you're in the military, they commission you as an officer, to defend your country, to fight for your country, that you uphold the Constitution of the United States. When you become a politician, they put their hand on the Bible and they say that they will defend the Constitution. And if they have to give their life for it, they'll give their life for it. That's a commissioning. When you get saved, Jesus says, I've commissioned you to be a witness. You're now in the army of God. And you get no amens on that. I just thought, I'm a friend of God. Yeah, great, he's your friend, but he wants you to be a witness too. Are you here? What when you're a friend with someone, what happens? You have things in common. You like to do the same things. Come on, you got people that you like to eat the kind of same type of food. You like to go to the same class at the gym. Come on, you like to worship God together, this commonality there. If you're a friend of God, you can't say you're a friend of God and you don't like all the things he likes. And Jesus is all about telling people. He's all about sharing the good news. He went into the highways and byways. He commissioned his disciples by twos to go out, and he gave the Great Commission. The last words he gave were these words. Jesus said to them, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. What did he say? You got to go. You got to go. I say this week after week. What church is just starting when we walk out those doors. When you go back to your workplace, when you go back to your schools, when you go to the restaurant, when you go grocery shopping, everywhere you go, find opportunities to tell people. Someone's looking sad. You look a bit down. Is everything okay? Jesus loves you. Come on. Believe God for a word. Start engaging people. Come on, you don't need to have to keep 3 feet distance anymore. You don't have to be worried that you're going to catch something. Come on, we need to go. And Jesus loved the lepers, and he laid hands on them and brought healing to them. That's the church. Come on, the church throughout the bubonic plague was there right in the midst of sickness and all the different plagues and tragedies throughout history. The church was a saving force, a people that would share Jesus with them. My wife was telling me about this man in Asia that was a very wealthy billionaire, old man, but has never accepted Jesus. She was talking to one of her financial planners that's involved with this person. Has anyone shared Christ with him? No, we've sold him financial packages. What good is that going to do him in eternity? I mean, thank God that's the open door and do a good job and have excellence in your work. But come on, what is bagging groceries going to do for somebody? It's just going to feed them for a few days. Come on, what you're in the medical field, it's going to help their physical body, but what about their spirit? Yeah. What about their soul? And so they end up talking and then opened up and shared with this very wealthy man who's on in his late 80s, I think. 90s. And he accepted the Lord and experienced the love of God. Come on. Come on, let's not wait till people are 90. Let's not wait till they're on their deathbed and hope we get there in time. We're dealing with life and death. Are you here? Paul and Silas were focused on their mission. Let me ask you this morning, are you focused on your mission? Paul and Silas were two people that loved Jesus. They were on a mission. We read about their stories in the Bible about what they did, and it's an amazing story. We should make a movie out of this. I mean, this would be a pretty cool movie. Come on. But they loved people. They were convinced that they needed to tell everyone. We shouldn't take our message, take our faith and hide it. And one of the greatest lies that's come into our culture is this, oh, your faith is personal. Don't offend people with your faith. That's not in the Bible. Are you here? I have no problem. You don't have to be a bad salesman. We all don't like bad salesmen. But what is a bad salesman? Someone who tries to sell you something they don't even like because they want your money. A product they don't even believe in. But come on, if I have the cure to cancer, I'm going to try to sell to everybody. Why? Because I want to help people. I do real estate. Come on, everybody needs a place to live. I want to help people get into where they want to be, and so they have a home. Where you have you own your own house and you have an asset. Come on, and you're not paying someone else's mortgage that's appreciating 7% every year. And your rent keeps going up until you can't afford it and people are homeless. That's a bad cycle. But that I have no problem. I'm not apologetic about that. I want to help somebody. Are you here? I have no problem telling people, Jesus, because I want to help them. Come on. They're broken and they may look like they get all together, but they don't. They may be doing okay. They're good people. I'm not saying they're even in gross sin, but guess what? It doesn't matter. Our righteousness is filthy rags. If you don't have Jesus when you die, you're not going to heaven. There's only one way to heaven. Well, that's very offensive. That's the gospel.
That's right.
It can be the good news or people can get offended. People either loved Jesus and shouted and got happy or they got angry and gnashed their teeth. Those are the two responses. But it's not up to us. We still got to tell people. Are you here? Just because someone slams the door in my face or puts the phone down on me and says, I don't want to talk to you. Fine, stay renting. I mean, fine. You know, there's a lot of other people out there that need help. I just move on. And that's what Jesus said too, amen? Don't take the message and store it away. Start your own ripple effect by sharing with others. God strategically has placed us in our school, in our workplace, in our communities to share the gospel with people. I put this up for you. Don't just focus on Jesus for yourself. Focus on the message. Don't just focus on Jesus for yourself. We come, oh, I'm seeing visions of Jesus. Well, what are you doing about telling people about that vision? Some of us, our eyes are up in the cloud. We're living in the cloud. We're so spiritually minded, we are no earthly good. My encounter, well, I'm just worshiping Jesus. I just spent time with the Lord. I'm getting all these downloads. Well, who are you telling about the download? It ain't just for you. People, you know, I was talking to people, and they're, you know, having this thing now, like, you know, people are talking about, let's, you know, we need, one of the spiritual disciplines is solitude. And we need to go and spend time alone with God and all that. I'm like, that's fine, but you should come out of that place with your face shining.
Yes.
You should come out of that place with an anointing to go and all the more preach with more boldness. Moses went up on the mountain and his face shining. He came back with commandments and changed the culture. Jesus went up and was transformed. Come on. And when he said, I am he, the people fell under the power.
Yeah.
And we got people doing all that. But where's the power? Where's the glory? If you're spending so much time alone with Jesus, or come on, you're just escaping because you don't want to be around people. What happened? The church fell in the dark ages. Why? All the holy people went to the monasteries. And the church fell in the dark ages. Come on, we're called to be salt and light in the world. And I'm saying, have your quiet time. The Bible says go into the secret place, but he didn't say live there for a week.
Yeah.
Jesus went a little further, but he came back and he preached the next day. Yeah. He didn't spend, you know, 2 weeks in a monastery. And there's still monasteries there. We were in Europe, went monasteries that are there, priests that are there that don't talk to anyone. I'm like, let's go talk to the priest. I'm a man of God too. Let's meet, you know. What's your greatest revelation? Oh, we don't talk to anyone. It's forbidden. So they stay in their four walls, and it's as if they never lived. That's not the Bible. He didn't say go and stay and lock yourself up. He said go into all the world and preach the gospel. Come on, lay hands on the sick. Cast out devils. Come on, compel them to come in. My house will be full. Don't focus just on Jesus and your encounter. Focus on your mission. Now, have encounter with Jesus. I'm not saying don't focus on Jesus. Don't hear me saying that. Pastor said don't focus on Jesus. No, I didn't say that. But spend time with Jesus. Then out of that experience, tell someone. Come on, people. I don't want to come to church. I'm so spiritual. I don't fit in any church. Or you hear people, I've got a revelation, but you ain't ready. You ain't ready. What kind of nonsense is that? Jesus preached because people were ready? Are you here? If I ain't ready, I'll go search the scriptures and figure it out. Are you here? But we try to, this super spirituality here, come out from among them so we'll be defiled. That wasn't Jesus. Jesus did more miracles outside of the church and the temple than he did in the temple. More people got saved outside. He said, I didn't came for those that are righteous. I came for the unrighteous. Paul and Silas were following the command of the Great Commission. It's a universal calling. People say, what's my calling? I'm trying to wait for my ministry, my calling. Your calling is to go and tell somebody. Come and see, go and tell. That's as simple as it is. You don't need a revelation. You don't need five prophecies. Come and see and go and tell. Someone say, come and see.
Come and see.
Go and tell.
Go and tell.
and be a witness for Jesus Christ. Come on, if you believe that, give the Lord a big hand. Amen. And what do we want to see? We want to see a ripple effect. I put this up there. What's a ripple effect? It's a situation in which one event produces effects which spread and produce further effects. We look at Paul and Silas. They had a ripple effect. What was the effect of them encountering God? The soldier wanted to kill himself. But what happened? They went and they found him. How many people do you know that are spiritually dead? How many know that people that are physically giving up or people that are emotionally struggling with depression and discouragement and they have no hope? We need to go and find them. Are you here? And see a ripple effect, because what happens? He said, come and see. And they came in and they rushed in and they encountered God. And they were able to share Christ with him. And then what did they do? They went to his family and his family got saved. Then they got baptized. There was a ripple effect. Come on, Jesus met the woman at the well. There was a ripple effect that went through the city. He cast the demon out of the demoniac. And what happened? There was a ripple effect that happened. That's why they said those that have turned the world upside down have come here too. It wasn't they were trying to cause disorder. But come on, there's a ripple effect. When you come and like water, there's a ripple effect. When you, come on, life comes into someone. Come on, it flows out of them. It flows out of them, and you can't stop it. You can't stop the water. It flows where it wants to flow. And come on, we got to keep the river flowing, the river of salvation, the river of life, touching people. It has a life-saving effect. Freedom is not a means of escape, but it's an opportunity to witness. What do I mean by that? What miracle has Jesus done for your life? It's not just for you to escape and experience, well, I've got freedom, freedom, freedom. Well, tell somebody about your freedom because they don't have it. Yeah. Tell somebody I once was lost, now I'm found. Tell somebody I was blind. Tell somebody God healed my back. Tell somebody God restored my marriage. Yes, tell somebody my kids were going crazy and God got the craziness out of them. Are you here? Tell them I was addicted and I was turning to the wrong things and I had an emptiness in my heart and God set me free and I don't need those things anymore. Yeah. Are you here? Paul and Silas were miraculously freed from their confinement, but they didn't view their freedom as a means of escape. They viewed their freedoms as an opportunity to witness. And come on, we need to care about others more than we care about ourselves. We need to care about our unsaved friends, our family, our neighbors, and look at the opportunity. 50% of people say they would come to church if someone just invited them. And I want to show of hands today, but how many of you never even invited someone this week? How many of you never invited one the last week? How many of you never invited one in a month? How many of you never invited one in the last year? God help us. Come on. This is why we're free. This is why we're here. God loves us. But as we come and see, we got to go and tell. I ask you this question. What miracle has Jesus done in your life that you need to share with others? What miracle has he done in your life that you need to share with others? Well, I'm afraid to share. I don't know how to share. Just be real. Yeah. Tell your story. You don't have to be animated like someone else. You don't have to act like me, or you can be like your higher, be yourself. Yeah. And just share what God has done for you. If he's freed you, tell someone. But because he didn't free you just for yourself, he freed you so you can tell your story and be a witness to someone else. Because it's not just about me. It's not just about you. Yeah. It's about others. Amen? Paul and Silas were miraculously freed from their confinement. But what did they do? They didn't view it as just a means to escape. They viewed it as an opportunity to witness. And look at the harvest that came. What is being a witness? We've got to share our story with others. What is being a witness? Number two, we got to focus on the mission, the great commission that God's given us, and live with that seriousness because he's commanded us to. It's not the great suggestion. It's a commission. And finally, number three, what do we have to do? It's so simple. Pray, invite, and bring people. Pray for people that their hearts will be open. Invite them to come and bring them. Make it easy for them. We've got tickets this year for our event. Go out. Try to invite at least five people. We had 165 people who just found us on Facebook or heard about our Trunk or Treat event and came, and every one of them was super excited when we told them we're having this event. We've got tickets. They're free. Come on, who does that? A production's free. Come on, there's inflation. Nothing's free nowadays. Come on. It's going to be first class. It's going to be great. All of our design. Samuel, the team's done an amazing job. It's first class, professional. The production, the editors are working. I saw the draft of it. It's first class. But it's not just for us that we come, oh, we have such a great church. Come on, it's not for us. We already know that. We already know Jesus is good. But we need to tell someone else. We got to pray. We can invite and bring. I want to encourage you to pray for at least 5 people and invite them to come. You can do more than that. As you go out, I want you to go out and invite them. Say, hey, I've got free tickets. Would you like to come on Sunday? Let's put the slide up, guys. Would you like to come on Christmas Eve at 7 o'clock? Would you like to come on, can we have the time? I don't even know the time. Can we on Christmas Eve, the Friday the day before Christmas, Friday at 7 p.m. Saturday's Christmas Eve. We have a 3 p.m. and 5 p.m. Yeah. Would you like to come? Which service would you like to come? I can get you free tickets. Yeah. Find out. Get their name. Get their email. Get their phone number. Come and get your tickets and bring it to them. Bring it back to them at work. Get the tickets. We're going to have them in your Connect group with your Connect group leaders every week. There's booths outside out there. Get them in. But I want you, we're not giving, if you ain't got nobody coming, don't take no tickets. We don't want you to put them in your back of your boot and your trunk of your car. And later in Easter time, we open up your boot and see you still got the flyer from Christmas in there. Say amen or omi. It happened. Somebody, these are confirmed tickets. And let me tell you, there's a wave of God. Don't miss out. Oh, I wanted to bring my friends, but it's full. Why did you wait so long? The Bible says the kingdom of heaven suffers violent. What does it mean? The violent are trying to get in because they got something good and it's free. It's life-changing. People are showing up. Come on, let's share with our family. What's our mission field? Pray for them. Stay in contact with them. Follow up with them. Keep inviting them to come until they say yes. If they don't come for Christmas, come on, invite them for the week after Christmas. They don't come the week after, invite them for our New Year's service. They don't come then, invite them for our conference. They don't come then. Keep inviting, keep winning, keep sharing the gospel with others. Are you here? Can we do that? And I want to encourage you, if you say, how many want to be a witness? We want to help you to be a witness. And we have a slide up for you. I want you to text the word witness to our church number. And we're going to encourage you every week with some scriptures. We're going to encourage you with some creative ideas of things you can do, some prayer strategies of how you can pray. We're going to encourage you in 2 weeks' time, meet somebody for a cup of coffee. How many of you can do that? Come on, I pray you pay. Amen. No, you go ahead and pay. Pray and pay also. You know, what are some of the things we do? Invite someone from you. Some creative ways that we can do it every week to set the focus. On Monday, you're going to get a text. You're going to get an email. And it's going to be interactive if you want to help you. Come on, you want to be a witness. Text the word witness to 949-446-1110. Get involved. Be a witness. Come on, let's invite as many people as we can. I'm believing God. We're going to see a huge harvest. I'm believing all of our 3 services are going to be packed with people, and we're going to see a wonderful Christmas. And then on Christmas Day, there's no service. We're going to celebrate with our families and rejoice at what God has done. Are you here? Amen? Come on, text the word witness to the number that's there on your screen. Let's be a witness. Let's get involved. Let's not just be hearers of the word. But come on, let's be doers of the word of God too. And all God's people said, I'd like every head to be bowed and every eye to be closed. Maybe you're here in this place and say, wow, I've heard about God, but I've never been to a church like this where they're so on fire about reaching people, where they preach the reality of Jesus. You know, Jesus is not a religion. Christianity is not a religion. Sometimes that's the wrong perception the world has because they just see the media or movies and churches outdated and pastors very nerdy and irrelevant. But that's not the kingdom of God. Christianity is not just about people coming, trying to escape from the world. It's about people who have come and experienced freedom, being trained to make a difference, to bring the love of God into their world, that we come and we get encouraged in our faith, that we come and we encounter God. But as we go back out of this place, we are the church. The church is not a building. But we're walking with a living Jesus that wants to be involved in every area of our life. He said he came to give us life and life more abundantly. Every head's bowed, every eyes closed. If you're watching online, remove every distraction right now. Maybe you're here in this place and you say, I've never really heard the gospel this way. I've never really come into a relationship with Jesus. I've heard about church. I've been to church before, but I didn't know that I can have a personal relationship with Jesus. Friends, the Bible tells us that sin, all of us have sinned, and sin cuts us off from relationship with God. But that's why Jesus came and died for us. He took the penalty of sin because God is holy. God is righteous. And there had to be a payment for sin. But God is also merciful. He's also gracious. And he sent his son. The Bible says that he loved us so much that he sent Jesus Christ to become the substitute for us. And if we will believe the message that he died for us, that he rose from the dead, that he ascended into heaven, that he's coming back again, we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth. The Bible said we will be saved from the judgment of God. Because judgment was on Jesus' son. And as we are saved, we can come into a relationship where we can walk with God, we can grow in the knowledge of him, where we can learn to hear his voice, we can learn to discover the purpose that he has for us and that abundant life that he's called us to. If you're here in this place or you're watching online, every head's bowed, every eye's closed, you say, I don't have that, Pastor. Would you pray with me? I want to come to Jesus. I want to open my life to him, that the power of sin would be broken over my life, that I can discover my purpose, that I can come into the abundant life, that I can experience the presence that I felt in this place and in this broadcast. If that's you, every head bowed, every eyes closed, you say, I want to receive Jesus. I believe he died for me. I believe he rose from the dead. I believe that he's in heaven. He's coming back again. And I want to receive him into my heart. If that's you, every head's bowed, every eye's closed, just lift up your hand right now. Say, that's me, Pastor. Pray for me. Come on, you're watching online. Just say, that's me, wherever you're at before God. Come on, don't leave this place not receiving his presence. Don't leave this place not having the safety of the knowledge that if you died today, that you would see him. Come on, is there anyone else? I see that hand. Is there anyone else? Just lift up your hand and say, I want to invite Jesus to come into my heart. Jesus' name. Come on, if you lift up your hand or you wish you did, I want you to pray this prayer. You're watching online. Let's pray this prayer together. Church, come on, let's echo together with me. Say, Father, thank you for loving me.
Thank you.
For sending Jesus,
to take away my sin,
so I can come into relationship with you,
so I
can experience life abundantly.
So I can experience life.
Jesus, I invite you into my heart.
Jesus, I invite you into my heart.
Take away my sin.
Take away my sin.
Come into my life.
And
give me joy,
and
peace, and righteousness. I receive you right now, and I thank you that I am saved. Father, I pray for every person that prayed that prayer, that you would fill them with your spirit, that you would give them the assurance, God, that you are there with them. Whether they are, they're driving, or they're at home, or they're at the gym, God, we pray for your manifested presence, God, to touch their hearts. Here in this place, God, that you would assure us that you are with us, God. That as we leave this place, we have come and we've seen that you are good, that we would go and tell someone about your goodness and your faithfulness. We thank you, God, for those that are responding to you today. And we thank you, God, for the life that we have, that the greatest life we can live is a life, God, walking with you, that you would be in us and we would be with you. You are the vine and we are the branches. And we love you and we praise you. We thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
And all God's people said, you're glad you came today.